Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt and Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Brian Callahan will be addressing the media before day number two of joint practices against Atlanta. That's scheduled to happen later this hour, right around 8:40, and we will have that press conference for you when it becomes available. So looking forward to that coming up later this hour. Right now I got some tickets to give away. A four-pack of tickets to PBR Stampede Days coming up this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Call the 3 will win a four-pack of tickets to PBR Stampede Days coming up this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Connor, apparently day number one of joint practice for the Titans did not go very well for the home squad. The Atlanta Falcons offensively looked like they did whatever what they wanted to do out there. Titans offense apparently struggled against the Falcons defense. Cam Ward threw a couple interceptions out there. So obviously hoping for a bit of a rebound in day number two. We heard in the update there what Jeffrey Simmons said about the slow starts and everything going on with that and how that's becoming a trend that they've got to find a way to reverse it. So we'll see if they can do that today coming up in game two. One texter says this: what happens if the Titans end up with the number one pick again? That probably means Cam Ward had a so-so first year and the coach gets fired. Do you think the Titans draft another quarterback if Manning or one of the other guys is a much better prospect than Cam? Has anyone discussed this possibility? Sort of concerned this is not an unrealistic scenario for us. So, I mean, first off, lots going to have to play out for that to be the case. But, like, it's not, yeah, it's certainly not impossible
right
that the Titans could end up with a very high draft pick next year. I would be very, like, it would, to me, it would have to be pretty bad,
yeah,
from Cam Ward this year for you to consider that. Now, look, I guess there's always the scenario where you get the number one overall pick and you're doing your due diligence on the quarterback and you walk away thinking, look, whoever it is, you know, I don't think Arch Manning's coming out this year.
Nope.
But let's just say for the sake of argument, he does. You get it, and it's like, well, we've got the number one pick, and Arch Manning is there, and we think he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we have lost faith in Cam Ward. Well, at that point, then I would probably say, yeah, do it. I think that's a pretty extreme scenario.
Yeah.
And I think that would probably require Cam Ward being pretty atrocious this year. Now, the other scenario in that discussion of, you know, the Titans either having a bad enough season or Cam Ward not playing well enough to save the job of the head coach is something we've talked about a lot. I think that is a possibility heading into this year, and we'll see how they handle that. But I think it would take a pretty special set of circumstances for the Titans to be drafting another quarterback next year to the point where, like, I would put the percentage chance of that at about 1.5%, and maybe that's even a little too high.
Yeah, no, you'd have to have a very, very special season in the bad way from Cam Ward. If the Titans were drafting high, I would argue they'd probably draft defensively because, as we know, they...
Or a wide receiver.
Like, one of those two.
Yeah.
Someone to hit the quarterback or someone to catch the ball. One of those two. They need help in both areas, but that's where I would amount high draft picks for the Titans for as far as team building. You know, if Cam Ward has a solid season, chances are you're going to want to build pieces around him, and you want to have a good defense, and you want to have a solid wide receiver you get through the draft. So
I think if you're going by just pure likelihood, the likelihood is at the end of Cam Ward's rookie year, you're probably not going to know for sure that he's your guy. Like, you're not going to know for sure that he's going to be some elite player.
Yeah.
You're probably also not going to know for sure that he's not good, right? Like, the likelihood overwhelmingly exists somewhere in the middle of those two things. Like, my guess is throughout this year, Cam Ward is going to have a few games where he plays pretty bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, not a very good week from Cam Ward. He's probably going to have a few weeks where he plays really, really well. And you're like, wow, what a game from Cam Ward. And the majority of the season is probably going to be somewhere in between that, where he's got some moments in some games where he looks great and some moments that don't go so well. And the totality of it is, yeah, Cam Ward was okay today.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably going to be a lot of that this year. I think the challenge is like trying to, when you're trying to determine the direction your franchise is headed, how do you sift through that? Like, how does what's around Cam Ward on offense, the defense, particularly if it struggles in the way we think it might this year, you know, that has an adverse effect on your offense too, when your defense just cannot get off the field and is giving up points left and right. You know, if the Titans turn into that, that's not good. I mean, there's context involved in all of it that helps shape the discussion. So it's not just as simple as, well, if the Titans are 4-13 this year, that must mean Cam Ward sucked.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into all that. However, like, the likelihood is you're going to get to the end of this year and we're going to, as a market, probably err on the side of highlighting what Cam Ward did well. I've said this. If things go wrong this year, Cam Ward is going to be the last person who gets blamed.
Yep.
It's going to start with Brian Callahan, and then it's going to trickle down from there. We're going to get into all sorts of other things before we get into Cam Ward. So that's why I continue, like, the scenario of them being bad enough and him being bad enough where they're drafting – they're seriously entertaining the idea of drafting another quarterback next year. I don't think that that's much in the scope of reality.
Right. And, you know, you draft a quarterback number one to a bad team – that opens the door for a multi-year assessment of, okay, is this the guy? I don't think you'll have your answer after 1 year. I think, like you said, you'll err on the side of positivity for the most part if things go bad for him, and Callahan will be blamed.
Yeah, like, Callahan's going to be the one that gets blamed.
And you'll be like, well, let's get a coach in here who can fix Cam Ward and build around him. And
No doubt.
That's just the cycle of the NFL. Yeah. That's how it works.
But and the bottom line is, you know, there's a difference, too, between a number one overall pick and somebody like Levis, who was drafted in the second round. Like, the number one overall pick is going to get more time. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, if you draft somebody number one overall, they're going to get more time. We've brought up, you know, I brought up the Simmons clip from yesterday, and we've had a lot of people weigh in on Simmons today. And Jeff on the text line says, from hearing the short interview with Simmons, it sounds to me like he's had his fill of playing on this bad team. From the discussions on the radio I've heard about trading him, I bet he will not be on this team next year, possibly before. That's going to be really interesting. Number one, how bad are the Titans? Like, are the Titans flirting with being one of the worst teams in the league again this year, to the point where by the time the trade deadline comes around, you know that they're not doing anything, similar to how it was last year of – you know, by the time the deadline came around, it was like, these guys aren't going anywhere. Does that happen again? And if so, how does Jeffrey Simmons play between now and then? Because, you know, we've talked about this. There are some people that believe Jeffrey Simmons, if you traded him, could be worth the first-round pick. There are some people who don't believe that. I think PK did an exercise on that last year. And I think the general response he got from people around the league was somewhere in the neighborhood of a second-round pick. Which I know some Titans fans were like, yep, do it. And others were like, no, I'm not trading Jeffrey Simmons for anything less than a first-round pick. So, I don't know exactly what that's going to be in terms of the quality that he brings and what that looks like. You know, technically, you know, we brought this up earlier, technically he is not a free agent until 2028. So he's got this year left on his deal. His base salary in 2026 jumps up to $20 million. The cap number continues to go up the next few years as well. He's at a $22.7 million cap this year, and then according to Over the Cap, next year that moves up to 25 and then 28 in 2027. So, like, you know, from a contract standpoint, he's got, you know, there's some time left here. But, you know, if the production goes into what would basically be, I guess, a third year in a row at that point, and really kind of a fourth year in a row at that point, where it's not quite matching up with what you're paying him. How willing are the Titans to have those conversations? And look, I'm not going to discount what Jeff brings up on the text line either of, like, does it reach the point with Jeffrey Simmons where he just gets tired of the losing and he wants out? I don't know. You know, I don't think we're there yet, obviously. Like, they hadn't played a game yet. And, you know, definitely I think you could sense some frustration from Simmons yesterday on the way that some of these practices have gone. But by the time the trade deadline comes around this year, what sort of a situation are the Titans in? And does there come a point where Jeffrey Simmons just says, hey, man, I've had enough of this. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to discount that as a possibility.
No, I won't either. But as of right now, in this very moment, I don't think the Titans are even considering trading Jeffrey Simmons. I think, you know, they're thinking he is the forefront of our defense, and he is probably our best player on our entire roster. So we'll keep him on this roster heading into a new stadium because that sells tickets. People are going to pay tickets to go see Jeffrey Simmons, especially if this team is good.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of think. Now, I can totally see a possibility, like you said, where if this team is so bad and Jeffrey Simmons isn't getting the kind of money he thinks he should be getting in an extension, then, yeah, I could see a Micah Parsons situation where he demands out or something like that. But right now, I don't think that's even in consideration as far as trading Jeffrey Simmons.
There's a text on the text line about the defense that I want to get to coming up next that we'll address. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Calvin, when you go back and you look at the film and you see you're probably going to find a lot of things wrong, is that almost better in some ways than if you'd gone through and maybe the plays had been made, but yet there were mistakes that, you know?
We're going to go watch it, fix it. It's football. Football is not perfect game. Everybody wants the game to be perfect. The media makes the game seem like we got to be perfect. Everyone wants us to catch every pass, catch every block, everybody. They got good players. We got good players. It's going to be – someone's going to do bad every play. We were on some of the bad ends of the plays. We're going to go look at it, fix it. But like I said, that's good for us. You know, we get better from stuff like this.
That's Calvin Ridley discussing the Titans. Says, hey, man, it's football. Imperfect game. You're going to have somebody playing bad on every play. Somebody's playing good. It's just the way it goes in the game of football, which I agree with. Good stuff there from Calvin Ridley. I fear the Titans may be the ones playing bad more often this year, but we'll see what happens on that front. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Ed, on the text line, throwing this question out there. Is there a massive overreaction to watching a defense that was missing four of their best players in the first preseason game and now concluding that the defense is going to be awful? I would answer that in a couple ways, Connor. 90% of this time of year is overreaction, would be what I would say.
Yes.
90%, because it's... we're talking largely about practice, and I've made my thoughts clear on that. It's amazing to me the level of discussion we have about practice in this sport, but we do. Having said that, like, it's not totally meaningless. Like, you know, there are certain benchmarks that you need to see your team hit, and there's – look, I think we've all watched enough NFL football to know that you can tell when there's a good team out there and you can tell when there's a bad team out there. And it's not always apples to apples, and sometimes teams that are one way to begin a year totally transform throughout the course of the year. And we've seen that firsthand. Like, I can't think of a better example than in 2019 when the Titans were absolutely cheeks to start the year. I mean, they're terrible to start the year. You make the quarterback switch, and that, coupled with a couple other things, led to a total rebound the other way in 2019, to the point where they ended up in the AFC title game that year. So, like, it can happen that way in the NFL for sure. I do think, though, like, specifically to the defense, it's not just the preseason game. Like, the preseason game was not good. You know, they got run all over by Tampa Bay's backups, and some of that was several starters for the Titans getting run all over by Tampa Bay's backups. They made Kyle Trask look pretty good out there. So, if you know, it's one preseason game, I'm not overly concerned about that. But I do think, like, when you just look at the roster, like, look at the roster and look at edge rusher right now, and it's a big problem. Like, there's just no way to me that you can look at where they're at with their edge rusher group and not come away thinking, yeah, that's going to be a big issue for the Titans this
year.
Like, it's just going to be an issue. And they're going to have a tough time, I think, getting to the quarterback. And if you got a tough time getting to the quarterback as a defense, you're probably going to have a tough time as a defense. And maybe they're better stopping the run this year. Like, they you know, that totally fell off last year, and we've talked about that. And certainly, if Sweat and Simmons are back in there and Barton is as good as they think he is, and they are pretty darn good at stopping the run, certainly that's going to help the defense. But, you know, when the practice comes out yesterday and the reports are that, you know, TD is throwing it out there that, you know, the Falcons are basically doing whatever they want to the Titans secondary yesterday. When you factor in a secondary that without Legarius Sneed has some question marks and a pass rush that I don't even know if they're question marks. It's just lack of options.
Yep.
At pass rush right now. That to me just doesn't add up to good things defensively. Like, it's going to take an elite coaching job from Denard Wilson to make this defense a good defense, I think.
I mean, it kind of speaks to what we've been talking about, and that's the lack of depth they have on defense. As far as who's your edge rushers and who's hitting your quarterback, you got a rookie and a rotational piece in Arden Key who has his moments, but overall doesn't really affect you much. Then after that, you got nothing. If they're a run-stuffing defense, then that opens up the pass game, and you don't have anyone to hit the quarterback, so I don't know. And secondary is even more of a problem because you're missing Legarius Sneed. Your best option is Jarvis Brownlee and Roger McCreary. And other than that, there's nothing.
There's not a lot there.
There's not a lot there. So my level of concern with the defense is pretty high. And based on what I'm hearing from practice and what they've been doing the past couple of weeks, it's continuing to rise to the level where I think they may be one of the worst in the NFL.
Brian says, practice after practice, and now after the preseason game, we keep hearing it's just practice. It's just the preseason. Don't worry. Here's the thought I have. It's okay to look decent in practice and or the preseason games. You don't have to be trash constantly and then make excuses. I think we're in for a long year. Well, I mean, I cannot disagree with you or make you feel bad for feeling that way. Like, look, if I had to pick right now, and, you know, I'm not going to go game by game and do, like, a record prediction. I'll do that right before the regular season starts, I guess.
Yeah.
For some reason, people love that stuff. But, like, I don't think they're going to be very good. Like, hot take. I don't think Titans are going to be very good this year.
No,
like,
I mean,
you know, I think their win total in Vegas is 5.5. They're over under. That's about right. Like, I think they're going to be pretty bad. And maybe they're not the worst team in the league. Like, you know, we talked to Frank Schwab yesterday, and when you really look at New Orleans roster, like, it's pretty bad, man.
Oh,
they're going to have a chance to be pretty awful this year. So maybe the Titans aren't the worst team in the league, and maybe the quarterback play eventually gets to the point from Ward throughout the year where it's good enough to elevate. I don't know that it's there right now. Like, based on what you're seeing and hearing from Ward, I don't know that I would put him in the category of an elevator yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it gets there at some point this year, and they end up being a little bit better than their roster dictates that they should be. That would say good things about Cam Ward. That would probably speak well to the coaching job that Brian Callahan did this year. I'm not discounting the possibility for all those things. But, yeah, like, on the surface, so you look at the roster and a lot of problems. Like, there are a lot of problems with the roster, particularly on defense. And then still offensively, like, you know, I am excited about the connection that Ward and Ridley seem to have made with each other to this point. Beyond that, at wide receiver and even tight end, you know, somebody's asking about Gunnar Helm. We'll see. Like, you know, I don't know that Gunnar Helm is ever going to be George Kittle, but
yeah.
Like, can he be a decent, productive tight end for you? We'll see. But I still think there are a lot of holes to fill from the skill position right now at wide receiver. And maybe the 2 fourth-round rookies come in and fill some of that, but I still think as they're under construction with this roster, there's a lot still left to be desired on both sides of the football, which adds up to me to a bad team. I'm sorry. It does.
Yeah. And right now you're kind of just hoping that some of those draft picks hit. Like, you hope you can invest in Oladejo and that he becomes a solid pass rusher, and you hope at least one of those fourth-round rookie.
They had one of those. They might be in better shape.
Yeah.
Put them on some defense. Rookies on this team, honestly.
Yeah, it could hit the quarterback.
I'd put them at edge rusher.
Yep.
Imagine Chewbacca coming off the edge.
Oh, boy.
In trouble.
You hope that one of your fourth-round rookie wide receivers develop or have a big year this year. And all signs point to Iyo Manor being that guy, but it's not a sure thing. You hope that you can build through the draft, and Brinker and Borgonzi have, you know, said that they want to do that, and that's going to take a couple years. But right now, on this day, August 13th, 2025, this is a bad roster. And I don't think there's any shame in saying that.
I got one texter that says, those who are saying, but our defensive starters weren't out there, are acting as if this isn't the same starting unit that got smoked by Malik Willis and Mac Jones. Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see. I mean, Rex Rhodes fully believes that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a different level of player this year based on the weight loss that he's had and the explosiveness that he's got with that weight loss. I hope so. We'll see. If he is, what sort of a difference does that make for the defense? I don't know if it's going to make a massive difference, but it'll certainly make a difference, right? Like, they'll be better if Jeffrey Simmons is the best version of himself. So I'll leave some room for that. You know, Sweat, unfortunately, we haven't seen a whole lot of lately because he's been dealing with the tonsils, and hopefully he gets back out there soon and can play. But, like, hopefully in year two with him, there's a significant jump from year one to year two where he is not only just involved in stuff in the run, but he can maybe get after the quarterback a little bit more often than he did last year. So there are some things that could happen where maybe the defense is better than we think it is. But as we say, there's a lot of hope involved with a lot of that too, and hope is not a great strategy in professional sports.
Was it Draymond Jones who looked like he was on his way to a sack and then slipped?
Yep.
The other night in the preseason game?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe in a regular season game, he doesn't slip and gets a sack.
I mean, yeah, field's terrible the other night.
That's what I said. They put the sod down late.
Sod down the day before the game, and then it rained all day.
So,
didn't seem like a great playing surface.
Slipping a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe Draymond Jones could flash a little. He's one player who, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't seen a lot of.
Yeah.
Just being in Seattle and not watching a whole lot of their games lately over the last couple of years. I don't know. Maybe he can have more of an impact than I'm anticipating. And if Simmons does take that next step, maybe he can draw the double teams. You know, he's not great at winning his double teams.
Yeah.
But perhaps that can open up more one-on-ones, and maybe Jones or Sweat or Femi can, you know, win a couple here and there.
John asking the over-under on Titans Pro Bowlers this year, set in 1.5. I mean, I'll answer this, I guess, in like what a Pro Bowler used to be. Like, you know, there's a chance that, you know, 9 AFC quarterbacks are either busy or say no and don't want to go do it. So Cam Ward ends up being a quote-unquote Pro Bowler. That doesn't count to me. Like the Tyler Huntley Pro Bowler. That doesn't count to me.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just go like straight up, right out of the gate Pro Bowler. I'll go 1. Like Jeffrey Simmons has got a shot.
Simmons might make it.
He might make it.
Maybe the punter.
I'll say
maybe
2.
Hacker.
I'll say 2.
Okay.
Maybe Ridley is one of them.
Okay. I mean, that would be a great year from Ridley if we're talking about him being a Pro Bowler.
Oh, no doubt about that.
So that would be, I mean, I would take that right now. 615-737-1025. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. Brian Callahan coming up right around 8:40. We'll get to all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Brian Callahan scheduled to address the media at 8:40. We will have that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One texter says, Lord have mercy, guys. I mean, we're not a Super Bowl winning team, but we're also not the number one pick in next year's draft type of roster. We were a couple of Will Levis butt fumble type plays from 2 to 3 more wins. I mean, go look at the roster, man. The roster is a bottom five roster in college, in the NFL. It's a bottom five roster. So when you're a bottom five roster,
maybe not college.
It is not college. If you're a bottom five roster in the NFL, you are going to be in the discussion of number one overall picks. I'm sorry. I mean, you are. I mean, look, everybody, we've talked about this. Not that this is the gospel or anything, but, you know, people have ranked the roster. You know, Bill Barnwell has come out and done it. You know, other executives have done it in these anonymous polls. And everybody's got the Titans right around like 30th or 31st in the league in terms of the roster. So can great quarterback play, can elevated quarterback play help that? Sure. Yeah, absolutely it can. Will we get that? We'll see. We'll see what that looks like from Cam Ward this year. I'm with you. Like, I don't expect it to be certainly as egregiously bad as Levis was at times last year. I hope not, because that would not be a welcome sight for Cam Ward. But bottom line is this roster is not going to be very good. Hey, look, I hope they can overachieve a little bit. Right? I mean, the expectation for them heading into this year is basically that, hey, can you guys, are you guys going to be 5-12 Like, that's basically what the expectation nationally, to a certain degree locally, is probably going to be for this team, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So can you get past that? Can you overplay that if you're the Titans?
I call it tightening, which they didn't do it last year because they were so bad, but usually the Titans, sometimes they'll pull off the wins that they're not supposed to win, and then they'll go lose one they're supposed to win.
So that has happened.
I call that tightening. Maybe they can pull some of that off this year, but you're right, Robbie. I think it's on paper right now, it is certainly a bottom five roster in the NFL. And like you said, bottom five is usually in contention for a top five pick. So I'm not saying they're going to be as egregiously bad as they were last year, because I think they've improved their quarterback play, at least on paper. But I don't see this being, you know, a sneaky 9-8 playoff team. Like, I think they're going to miss the playoffs by a 3-4 game margin, and, you know, they'll be picking in the top 6 or 7.
The other part of this that we probably hadn't talked about enough is the schedule. Like, the bottom line, most, not all, but most of their tough games come in the early part of the year, right? Like,
it opens up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, at the very end of the year, you've got, you know, Jacksonville twice. You've got Cleveland on the road.
Saints.
You got the Saints for the last home game of the year. So, I mean, it opens up a little bit at the end of the year where, like, on paper, looking at the rosters now, and we'll see how it plays out. But you got some games that you could be in and that you could win. You know, at the early part of the year, you know, Denver, L.A., the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, the Chargers.
You also benefit from playing in a bad division.
No doubt. Like, the Colts could be absolutely terrible, right?
Yeah.
That's the other part of this. Like, the Colts right now, you got Anthony Richardson hurt. Daniel Jones is their other option at quarterback, and he's not good. The Jags with a first-year head coach, what are they going to be? I mean, even Houston, I think, is the best team in the division, but I don't love Houston's offensive line. Like, I don't know that Houston is going to be – like, the thing that scares me to death about Houston is I think their defense has a chance to be pretty good. But, like, Houston's offensive line, it could be awful this year. So we'll see what happens on that front. But, you know, if you could get to – like, that first Jacksonville game is November the 30th. Like, can you get to that part of the season – and still have some meaningful football left to play? Because if you can, and I'm not even really talking about playoffs, but like if you're in the hunt there and you've got Jacksonville twice, you've got Cleveland on the road, you've got New Orleans at home, like those are some winnable games. And, yeah, you've got, you know, on the road at San Francisco and at home against Kansas City sandwiched in there too, and those are going to be tough. But if you can get to the end of the year, you've got a shot there with some winnable games.
Yeah, it opens up for sure. And I know, it's just the Titans, I just have no hope right now. And maybe I'm sounding super pessimistic and negative, and I try to avoid that. But, you know, it's just, it's not a good roster. There's so many question marks moving into the season as far as your quarterback and your wide receivers and your defense. And I think that's going to be too much for them to overcome. I really do. I think it's going to be a work in progress for the next couple of years until we build through the draft and we get key pieces we can build around our quarterback, if he is in fact our quarterback of the future. And I don't know, that's just kind of where I stand on that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Brian Callahan addressing the media before day number 2 of joint practice with the Falcons, scheduled to do that around 8:40. We'll have that for you coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt and Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Day number 2 coming up between the Titans and the Falcons at joint practices down there in Atlanta. Brian Callahan is scheduled to address the media here shortly, and we will have that for you when he becomes available. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. As a matter of fact, Brian Callahan's good to go. So here he is.
Yeah, glad they have the standards high. I don't think we started the practice the way that we'd want to. I think
Slow starts, though, I think are relative a little bit to, you know, the performance. So if you go out and play well, it doesn't feel like a slow start. If you go out and don't hit a couple throws and make a play or two, it feels slow. The difference of between the two is just simply that sometimes is that you don't make the couple plays you need to make early to kind of get it going. That's sort of what happened yesterday.
Jeff pointed out that the slow start thing was something that you guys talked about a lot last year too. But so much intentionality has gone into this offseason kind of fixing the wrongs from last year. Why do you think that one maybe is lagging behind?
You know, it's one of those things sometimes when you're, again, I think more of it has to do with making plays early on in practice so it doesn't feel that way. It's something that we continue to work on and continue to try to get out to a fast start. But again, I think it's more about making the plays early on that doesn't make it feel like it's slow. And I think you hit a couple of plays and the perception of the practice probably changes. But that to me is the biggest thing is you got to come out and make a few plays early. And usually it feels a lot better.
Jeff also said, part of the reason that the run defense wasn't great yesterday is that they threw a lot of runs at you that you hadn't seen before. That mm-hmm. seems kind of an odd excuse. Like, you're not expecting to recognize everything in Denver on opening day, are you? You have to be able to defend stuff that you haven't seen before?
Yeah, I don't think the run defense was a huge issue yesterday, personally. I thought we had some pretty good fits yesterday. I don't think it was it's hard to tell in practice, right? You're not tackling. There's guys fitting in there and tagging off. So there was some good things yesterday in the run game. I know they had a couple of game plan things, style runs that they had for Jeff that they whammed him once or twice early in the practice. They had a couple of things to try to disrupt him, which is it's pretty standard. Those are things that he deals with as a player of his caliber. So
philosophically, that idea, we haven't seen it, so we didn't do as well against it as we would have had we seen it on film.
You know, I think at the end of the day, we don't have any film on what they're doing. So it's not like we have a game plan process or four or five games to look at on how they're going to run the ball against us. So, there's probably some truth to not knowing some of the schemes that they're facing. And then some of it, you got to adapt and adjust to it. So I think it's a combination of both.
Brian, are you getting what you wanted out of this extended road trip? And do you think that it all contributed to yesterday's practice?
No, I think we're getting everything that I want out of this road trip, and I think that's part of it. There's a little bit of the adversity factor that you're trying to get comfortable with, and you're trying to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And there's going to be times in the season where you're going to look back, and the feeling's going to feel familiar. And that's the idea, is to make it challenging and make it hard. Not being in our normal surroundings, not being in our own beds, all of those things is part of the process of it. And I think that part's been great. There's been some things that we got to clean up from an execution standpoint in practice. I don't necessarily attribute the practice to that. But, yeah, our guys tired? Yeah, of course. And that's the idea. It's training camp. It's supposed to be hard. And I think that's the idea of the whole trip, is that's a key component of it, is we're going to go through some hard stuff. And so that's what we're doing it now. And then you have a chance to draw upon some of these experiences as you go through hard things during the season, because inevitably every season, no matter how good your football team is, you go through challenges and you're going to go through hardships and you're going to have things that you have to overcome. And the more you can put yourself in those positions, the better off I think you're going to be in the long run. So it's all a part of the process to me when it comes to being on the road and feeling like it's not, everything's not, hunky-dory and we're all having a good time. Like, it's supposed to be hard.
Ron, yesterday, the first team offense, it seemed like that outside of Calvin, some of the receivers weren't getting a lot of separation, weren't getting, into their spaces sometimes quickly enough, and particularly with Eilmanner, it felt like he was timid on a couple of 50-50 balls where maybe he should have gone up and, taken charge and taken the ball away from the DB.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a concern to you that these guys are not creating the separation against these DBs anymore?
No, I don't think that's necessarily a concern. I mean, they're good players. I think A.J. Terrell is a really good player. I know Jesse Bates firsthand. I know how good he is in their secondary, and they do a good job. I mean, they have players, and I think it was a good test for Ellick. He had a chance to go up against A.J. a couple of times in team periods, and he's getting a little bit more work share in some of those spots, and for him to have those opportunities and see what it looks like when you're playing against a real dude out there, it's good for him, and he learned from it as a young player. That was a one pretty contested ball that, you know, is they got all tangled up, and you'd love to see him make that play, and you hope that the more experiences he has in those positions that he ends up making those plays. So it's great for him to go against that kind of competition. I think it's been good for our team to go against their defense, and they got a good secondary, and it's a good test, and we'd like to perform better than we did yesterday, and today's another chance to go do it.
Ryan, how have you seen Cam continue to handle, like, when things don't go his way on the field, like whether it was the practice yesterday, the first drive in the preseason game against Tampa? How have you seen him continue to handle that, and I guess how would you like him to respond today?
I think he's handled the adversities of being a young player pretty well. There's always going to be ups and downs. There's going to be days where you perform well. There's going to be periods that are better than others. And you have to learn how to deal with that, because that's how the season goes. There's going to be drives in a game that are good. There's going to be drives in a game that you don't get anything out of. And how you come back for the next one, I think, is really important. And he's shown the ability to bounce back and come back and find ways to perform well. I think the Tampa game is a great example of, you go three and out to start, and you come back and you lead a touchdown drive. You know, that's what you hope for. That's what you're looking for from just the response element of it. And he's very prideful. He wants to perform well all the time, and he's learning how to play NFL football. And those moments where it gets hard is where I'm trying to put him in as many of those moments as possible, because they're coming. Whether you prepare him now or you let him do it later, they're all coming. And I think he's in a better place, having dealt with all the things he's had to deal with over the course of camp, and he's going to continue to get better.
How is London able to get so open so often in the middle of the field?
We got to tighten some of the interior coverage lanes up. He did a good job. They had some space. I mean, we're playing zone coverage in some of those spots, and he's finding the space in there, and we know how to do a better job covering from the interior. And Drake's a really good player. I think he caught pretty much every pass they threw yesterday. We were pretty good in most other places, but he had a good day yesterday.
Having gone through both sides of it, winning with the young quarterback and also losing it, what would you say is the hardest, the toughest thing about managing that, winning with a rookie quarterback?
Well, I think you try to keep your demeanor consistent, you know, win or lose. And with a rookie player, whether they're having success, a lot of it, you know, there's sort of two, it's either adversity or prosperity, right? There's two things you got to deal with, and both are sort of equally challenging. And I'd love to be dealing with the prosperity part, but, you know, you always have the other part that's where things don't go as well. And those are two things you have to try to manage, because sometimes the good stuff is false, and it's the result of other things that maybe aren't necessarily exactly the play that you need. And then sometimes the adversity doesn't have as much to do with it either. And it's circumstantial, I guess, is my best point, is you try to be as consistent as you can and not have a whole lot of ups and downs when it comes to dealing with either one of those things. And you try to just keep focused on the next day and getting better.
So the consistency, that's the hardest thing.
Of course. And it's consistency of play, and it's consistency in demeanor and emotion and all of those things. And I think those are things that you're always working on. I mean, I work on it the same way. You know, it's the same thing for anybody. But it's hard to be an NFL quarterback. There's a lot that goes on for these guys, and there's a lot of things that Cam continues to learn. And I think that's been the beauty of the training camp, and why we're doing all the things we're doing, is so he can try to accelerate that process as fast as possible. Yeah, of course not. We're not ready yet. I mean, I don't think anybody's ready to play real football yet. That's every team in the league right now. But you're trying to stack as many good days as possible. You're trying to keep performing better every time you step out there, and that's where we're at. I mean, it's time. It's getting close to time to go, and we got to feel that. I think our team does. And there's an imminent beginning here coming very quickly. We cut the roster down in what, 2 weeks? You know. It's coming. The season's coming, and we've got work to do still. We're not alone in that, but, you know, we got to get ready to go.
It's nice to you, Nick, and then Jared.
Is the expectation to still play guys, everybody, on Friday?
Yeah, everybody's going to play, probably similar to last week. You know, it's my same guys probably out. Simmons and Zeiler will probably sit, but other than that, most guys should be good to go. I may revisit that after today and see where we're at and all that, but, yeah, plan on those guys playing pretty similar to last week.
Yeah, and to that end, how much for Cam? How much
game accent for him? Probably about two series. I think because he played two series last week and like to kind of continue that. I think just the game, being in the stadium and the game reps, I think is important. You know, whether or not we're playing against starters or it doesn't really matter. It's more just to be in the stadium, on the field by himself, hearing the calls, managing the clock, all those things. Just the more experience of that he gets, the better. And so as long as those starters are in there, he'll be in there. So, again, probably about two series.
All right. Last one.
Good.
Quick one on Kevin Winston.
Joey, yeah.
Where are you guys in that evaluation?
Yeah, hopeful probably to get him back next week is sort of the projected goal. So we'll see where he's at. I mean, he's been working here in the rehab process, doing pretty well. So I think hopeful maybe we get him back next week in practice. Yeah. Thank you.
There goes Brian Callahan before day number two of practice against Atlanta. A couple of quick things there, Connor, that stood out. Cam Ward and the starters sound like they're going to play a couple series again on Friday against Atlanta coming up. Kevin Winston will be back hopefully next week. Been kind of a weird, interesting situation with him not being on the field after having come back from the ACL. So it looks like he'll be back at some point next week. You know, the start of that press conference was interesting because there's a lot of questions about the bad practice yesterday. I think at one point Callahan said, you know, it's good to have the high standard. But I think, you know, one of his points was something I worried about earlier in the show, and he talked about how, you know, early in practice, you know, the slow start kind of comes down to, like, do you make a couple of plays early in practice that are presented to you or do you not? And that kind of determines whether or not you had a quote-unquote slow start. And that was kind of my point earlier in the show, like how much of this is – I don't know how much of this is approach or lack of focus or lack of intensity or all these things that we always try to blame slow starts on. And how much of it is they're just not very good, right? Like, like that's what I keep going back to. Like, how much of this is, you know, he talked about Drake London. I will think one thing that he said in that press conference kind of annoyed me is, well, other than Drake London catching every pass, we had a pretty good day out there against the rest of the receivers. It's like, well, that's great. If in a game Drake London catches 15 passes for 185 yards and three touchdowns, nobody's going to really care what you did against everybody else out there. So, I would like to see some of that get out of his vocabulary there of, well, we did a good job on everybody else except Drake London. It's like, well, guess what?
It's the positive
spin. Your job when the game comes around is going to be to stop Drake London. So I don't know what to tell you.
It's the positive spin. I mean, I get it's preseason and he's trying to, you know, get you to watch Titans football and invest in the team. But at the same time, like, you're right. If it's a real game and Drake London lights you up like that, and guess what? Guess who's getting a lot of crap for it? Probably you.
Yeah, so I'm glad that they feel good about the way they played against all the other receivers except Drake London yesterday. We'll see what they do in day two. Hopefully, a nice bounce-back performance today for the Titans. We'll have you covered for it tomorrow. Paul Kuharsky on the show tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. Joe will be back tomorrow as well. Connor, appreciate you being in with us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman is next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.